This is Brian Oakes, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Erskine, Minnesota. We are pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good afternoon. Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman, reporting from the USDA Ag Outlook Forum in Washington, along with Tyler Donaldson and Randy Conan in studio. Reports from the USDA Ag Outlook Forum brought to you by Minnesota Corn Growers, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, and North Dakota Corn Growers. In a virtual appearance at the Ag Outlook Forum this morning, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins addressing key issues facing the ag sector, including trade deficits, rural prosperity, and disaster relief. Rollins, who was unable to attend in person due to travel delays, emphasizing her commitment to advocating for American farmers and ranchers.
I insisted on joining you this way. I know it's not ideal, but really, really important to me to be a part of this amazing, amazing event. I think this might set to be the 101st Ag Outlook Forum. So we are standing literally on the shoulders of giants today.
Throughout her speech, Rollins acknowledging the challenges within the ag economy, citing the rising cost of production, an aging farmer population, and a record trade deficit projected to reach $45.5 billion this year. She warned of the declining number of American farms, stating that 1 in 10 farms has disappeared over the past decade.
Because agriculture is the foundation of America, we have an obligation to be candid with ourselves and with the American people about where we are today. The state of our agriculture economy is dire, perhaps one of the worst in the last 100 years. Our trade deficit is set to hit a record $45.5 billion this year, our deficit. There has been a rapid decline in the number of American farms. And again, I'm sure you've all talked about this and has been part of the conversation and will continue to be.
On the topic of trade, Rollins stood firmly behind President Donald Trump's use of tariffs as a tool to bolster the U.S. economy, acknowledging that while they have immediate impacts on farmers, the long-term strategy is essential for national economic health.
You know, the president believes very sincerely, and I believe him too, and I trust him on this, that tariffs are a really important part of his toolkit to really make America great again and to unleash prosperity the way we saw it in term one. The lowest poverty rates, the highest job rates, obviously till COVID hit, that our country had on record. And there's a reason for that. Policy matters.
Rollins concluding with a call to action for bipartisan collaboration, recalling her unanimous confirmation by the Senate Ag Committee in her efforts to work across party lines. She emphasized agriculture as a unifying issue that affects all Americans, regardless of political affiliation.
One of the cruel ironies of the past century is that as American agriculture has gotten more efficient and more able to feed the nation and the world, the small town and rural communities that sustain it have fallen into decline. We must reverse this trend.
Reports from the USDA Ag Outlook Forum presented by Minnesota Corn Growers, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, Amity Technology, and North Dakota Corn Growers. I'm Jamie Dickerman reporting from Washington. Now with more news, here's Tyler Donaldson.
Speaking at the Ag Outlook Forum, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins said USDA plans to release the farm assistance payments by the congressional deadline of March 21st. At the end of 2024, Congress passed $10 billion in ad hoc assistance within the overall disaster aid package. Rollins also said she will speak at Commodity Classic this Sunday in Denver.
Pro-Farmer Washington consultant Jim Wiesmeyer has covered farm policy for five decades. Speaking at the Irie Insurance Farm meetings, Wiesmeyer praised Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins.
I'm quite impressed so far. She's articulate, and agriculture needs a spokesperson, and that she is. And she's very close to President Trump. I like to point out that she was in the running to be White House Chief of Staff. If that doesn't tell you her clout with President Trump, nothing does. So she can get on the phone if she has to under these interagency issues dealing with renewable fuel standard program, a year-round E15, the 45Z sustainable aviation fuel program, pesticides issue when it comes to EPA, and that's a plus.
At the USDA Outlook in Washington, Neil Rockstad, president of the American Sugar Beet Growers Association, highlighted the growing financial strain on farmers due to soaring input costs and legislative delays.
We've been looking at across the board 30% increase in our input costs since we passed the last farm bill in 2018. So certainly we have a lot of work to do to make that safety net come up and meet our expenses. Not make us profitable, of course, but provide that safety net so that we can continue to survive as an industry.
Rockstad detailed skyrocketing expenses, citing land costs rising 70% since 2018, fertilizer prices more than doubling, and equipment costs surging. Despite widespread discussions on Capitol Hill, progress on the farm bill has stalled, leaving farmers in a state of uncertainty.
There's been a lot of talk. There's a lot of things that have, you know, you might say, gotten in the way of talking about the farm bill. Some of that is procrastination from lawmakers. The normal things that they have to get done each year, appropriations, for example, they kind of get down in a rabbit hole they can't get themselves out of, and then they do the basics to get by, and that includes punting the farm bill and extending it for 2 years now. It's received one-year extensions.
Rockstad warned that repeated delays could make the bill more expensive and less effective in addressing the challenges faced by farmers.
President Trump's 25% tariff on imports from Canada and Mexico set to resume next week. Soy Transportation Coalition Executive Director Mike Steenhoek says there are concerns, especially with the timing ahead of the spring planting season.
We're certainly looking at any kind of disruption in trade flows due to tariffs. And obviously during the spring planting season, a lot of attention is on fertilizer and how much of that fertilizer we source from places like Canada. Really important to have these predictable, reliable trade flows. And one of the things that I always try to underscore is that when it comes to government policy, when it comes to things like supply chains, it's better to be predictably good than sporadically great. It doesn't do a whole lot of good if you are exceptional on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, but you're lackadaisical on the other days.
The latest agency to face the attention of the Department of Government Efficiency is the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. More than 10% of its employees are targeted, including staff with the National Weather Service. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The crop insurance price discovery period ends today. Numbers aren't final yet, but corn averaging $4.71 a bushel. That compares to $4.66 a year ago. Soybeans are averaging $10.55. That's nearly a dollar below year-ago levels. At the end of the month, spring wheat is averaging $6.57, down from $6.84 last year. Barley's at $4.49 a bushel, and that's up from $4.34 per bushel a year ago.
At the USDA Ag Outlook Forum, University of Minnesota Executive Director of AI Climate Institute, Sean Hagg, discussed how artificial intelligence is rapidly changing agriculture by improving decision-making tools for farmers.
We're really looking at AI in the sense of decision-making tools. So what are the existing tools that farmers, landowners, foresters are using to make sort of assessments on their land? We're really trying to collect data from those fields, integrate it into our sort of, you could say, AI models that we're developing.
A key focus of AI in agriculture is improving the carbon credit system, helping farmers navigate an increasingly complex market. Hagg pointed to existing tools like Comet Farm and Comet Planner, developed in partnership with the USDA, and how AI can enhance their accuracy and usability.
Really going to drive, I think, the future of the carbon markets is just having better decision-making tools out there to understand how farmers can capture that carbon, how they can sell those credits. Of course, this ties into the full supply chain system as well, and there's certainly a lot of gaps and challenges that we're trying to address. And precision agriculture moving very quickly, you're going to see a lot of updated tools and decision-making tools and technologies that are going to be much more efficient. And I think it's going to be real time. Farmers are going to know, okay, it's going to rain tomorrow. I need to do this today. And you're going to start to see those real-time benefits really quickly in the next 5 to 10 years on the decision-making side.
Martinson Ag Risk Management President Randy Martinson says uncertainty over tariffs has traders taking money off the table today.
The three things that have been pressuring us this week, of course, is the tariff talk and the tariff concerns, not knowing which direction we're going to go or if we're going to put them on or not. Last we know now is that March 4th, they're going to be put on 25% for Mexico and for Canada, and that's putting pressure in on the market. Also, March expiry or the March futures going into delivery caused a lot of selling that took place as guys didn't want to roll contracts anymore. And, weather improving in South America. So it's been a week where we've seen a lot of pressure come into these grains.
There's a new wave of protests happening in Europe with farmers slowing traffic with their farm equipment. The European Union trade policy, which has allowed agricultural imports from Ukraine and South America, are behind these demonstrations. The protests began in the Czech Republic and spread to Germany, Poland, Austria, Hungary, and Slovakia. The EU is allowing Ukrainian farm products to enter its border duty-free until early June. Protesters hope to avoid an extension of that policy.
Legislation has been introduced in the House and Senate to ban the slaughter of horses. The bill would also prevent the export of horses for the slaughter market. A bill supported by animal rights groups, including the Humane World for Animal, which formerly was known as HSUS, Humane Society of the United States.
A new avian influenza vaccine for dairy cattle is moving one step closer to commercialization. Elanco Animal Health has an agreement with Brookings, South Dakota-based Magine to bring this vaccine to market. USDA has already approved Magine's vaccine technology platform in cattle, allowing the accelerated development of the H5N1 vaccine. Magine has existing vaccine supplies to deploy for this purpose. The product is in the final stages of review for conditional license approval.
According to USDA's monthly report on hay prices in the upper Midwest, hay market mostly steady in February. Grade 1 hay averaged $107 a ton for large squares, $101 for large rounds. Grade 2 hay averaged $95 for large squares, $94 for large rounds.
CGB Enterprises has promoted Seth Post to Vice President of Soybean Processing. Post will oversee the North Dakota Soybean Processors plant at Castleton and the CGB facility in Mount Vernon, Indiana. For the past 11 years, Post has been the company's director of grain operations. CGB is a wholly owned subsidiary of Consolidated Grain and Barge. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week editor Jenny Schlecht. Jenny, what do you have for us on the curve of Ag Week this week?
This week, Ariana Schumacher and I are looking at the cattle markets. Markets have been strong for a few years now, and in January hit record high levels. Those dropped off a little bit, but now this past week, they've really came back strong. So we're just looking at some of the factors that are influencing those strong markets, how long they might last, and what are some things that could dip into that profitability a little bit. Of course, the big story with cattle continues to be the cattle inventory. USDA's most recent cattle inventory report that came out on January 31st showed the number of cattle in the country is still shrinking. We're not keeping heifers for replacements at the number that would indicate a rebuilding, which means that we're going to be short of cattle. Supply and demand, that would indicate that these markets are going to continue, at least for the time being. And along with that, I think with the high prices, people have been concerned that consumers would stop eating beef or stop buying beef, but demand has remained strong both domestically and in exports. Now, of course, we have to look at things like disease and trade and tariffs, as well as input costs like the corn market. But all in all, the cattle markets seem like they will remain strong for the time being. And so we just, this week, are telling that story and looking at what cattle producers should be aware of.
Thanks, Jenny. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week.
Checking quotes, May wheat Minneapolis down 6.5 cents, 5.98 and a quarter. May wheat Chicago 4.5 lower to 5.58 even. KC May hard red winter wheat 11.5 cents lower, 5.73 and 3 quarters. May corns down 10.5 cents, 4.70 and a half. May soybeans 10.25 lower to 10.27 even. July soybeans down 11 cents. In Winnipeg, March canola is down $6.40 per metric ton, $6.35.80 Canadian. April live cattle down $3.07, $1.93.07. April feeders down $1.17, $2.74.37. April lean hogs down 40 cents, $83.97. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 20 points, 43,218. Have a great weekend. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.